Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: the Illinois Education Association, Visit Springfield, and PyOrg.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Data centers have become quite controversial, and more of them are being proposed in Illinois and across the country. On this episode, we'll talk about data centers and why so many are concerned. That and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, professor emeritus and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. We have two guests this week. Nicole Hitrick is a reporter with Capital News Illinois. And Nicole, good to have you on with us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Also with us, Dilpreet Raju. He is a reporter for the Illinois Times based in Springfield. Dilpreet, thanks for joining us as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's just get started with this because I know people have heard about data centers. I think unless you've been living under a rock, they're getting a lot of news coverage. But I don't know that people truly know exactly what they are, what they do. So Dilpreet, why don't you've been covering one that's been proposed here for Sangamon County, just south of Springfield. What are data centers all about? What do they do?
So data centers are essentially, they process a bunch of information and data that is used online or now most commonly for artificial intelligence systems. And that's what is being, data centers are being used to process artificial intelligence systems. And they demand basically large amounts of power, and that in consequence turns into large amounts of land, water, and other utilities.
Now, we've been seeing the rise of computerization through the years and more data being used, but now we're hearing about these. Is this due to AI specifically, or is this, or are these already have been, you know, working in other places? We're just hearing more about them now, and they're starting to move into more locations now.
So they've been around for a while. Obviously, we've had like different sorts of data centers, as they're called, for decades. But they've been much smaller units. Now they're being proposed as what's being called hyperscale units that use almost as much power, or if not more power, than mid-sized cities. So those are kind of the new wave that we're seeing in the headlines nowadays most often.
I mentioned there is one proposed for Sangamon County, and again, just south of Springfield. What are the concerns that you've heard from people? And there are some people organized against this data center. In fact, it's been on the drawing board for publicly at least about a year. We still have not had a vote one way or the other whether it's going to actually be built here. But what are some of the concerns you're hearing about it? Because they're similar to what we've heard in other locations.
Yeah, it's kind of the general concern you hear from a lot of local residents whenever these projects are proposed, is that there's a lot of concern about noise being generated from the facility in addition to what it might do for the environment and air pollution, air quality, in addition to what it might do to land property values around the data center. So there's a lot of concern around that in addition to how it might impact everyone else with regard to utility rates and how those are used by the data center.
And so those concerns, of course, they happen at the local level, but they have started to make their way to state lawmakers, representatives, senators, even the governor. And Nicole, you've been following that at the State House. There is some legislation out there still being worked on, but what would the legislation do? How would it address some of these concerns?
Right. So the main bill that is being proposed is called the Power Act, and it addresses most of those concerns about price and environment and like community effects. So what it would do is require the data centers to bring their own energy supply so that they don't connect to the grid and take up some of those energy sources. And there's also requirements for like water use reporting so that people get a sense of how much water they're actually using in the system. And the other one would be entering, like just being more transparent with the community and agreeing to some community benefit agreements to make sure that everybody is taken care of.
So where does that stand at this point? Because I know it's gotten some hearings, been talked about a lot. I mean, is it something that they're going to be able to pass before the end of the session next month?
That part is unclear, but I know that the next step for it is in the Senate AI and Social Media Subcommittee, and that subcommittee is supposed to meet next week on the 9th and the 10th.
So we may have a better idea then. This is something that seems like a lot of locals, still, Preeta, maybe you're hearing this too. A lot of locals are saying they want to wait and see what the state does before anything is approved. And it seems to be one of the concerns and one of the arguments I've heard here in Sangamon County.
That is a big argument that's being pushed by opponents of the data center, or at least people who are cautious of it. There's been a lot of talk of kind of wondering what the rush is, and basically just wondering if they could wait a few months.
Charlie, this seems like something that is, for lack of a better term, really better left up to the state to put some rules, some guardrails in place, some guidelines for these people at the local level to help them make these decisions. So it seems like it makes sense for the state to do something, and maybe they will before the end of the session.
Yeah, I think it does. I think this is the kind of an issue that impacts really far beyond the actual geographic footprint of these data centers. And as a matter of fact, the bill that Nicole referenced has had its deadline for action in the Senate extended, and it's now the 24th of April, which coincidentally is a week after the deadline for bills to be voted out of the Senate. So the Senate is pretty serious about that. Now they'll be back next week and we'll see what happens. But it's an issue that's not just in Illinois, it's all across the country as these things are growing and multiplying. The promoters say that these will provide great economic benefits, job creation, capital investment, property tax, whereas consumer advocates and people concerned about the environment say that whatever those benefits are, they're outweighed by the demand on electricity, the use of water, potential pollution. And some of some of the statistics that have come out are really interesting in terms of how much power these things are going to consume, and the fact that, well, there was a study, I think it was in November, and this is a national study, predicted that U.S. data centers would consume as much water as 10 million Americans and match the carbon dioxide emissions of 10 million cars by the end of this decade. And so Illinois is trying to be forward-looking in terms of putting some guardrails around these things. And the concern, of course, is that the data centers are going to demand all this electricity, and the cost of providing that additional electricity is going to be borne by homeowners and other businesses rather than have the data center pay its own way, so to speak. There was a story that there was a Commerce Commission meeting last month, I believe it was. And I think Nicole, you and Maggie Doherty covered it. And one of the things that I found interesting was ComEd, which is the electricity provider up in most of Northeast Illinois or Northern Illinois. They figure that they have coming down the pipeline more than 75 large load projects that are expected to draw over 28,000 megawatts of energy. That's more than ComEd's highest ever megawatt peak demand in its 118-year history. It's roughly 1.2 times the most that ComEd has ever provided, and ComEd is trying to figure out where do we get all this extra energy.
You're listening to State Week. I'm Sean Crawford. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. the Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.
We're back on State Week, along with Charlie Wheeler, Dilpreet Raju of the Illinois Times, and Nicole Hitrick with Capital News Illinois. I'm Sean Crawford. And Nicole, Charlie mentioned some of the things that people are pushing as positives for these. So I'm, you know, there are two sides to this story, the jobs and the property tax money that would come in and go to local governments.
And those are kind of the big pros and cons, I think, to some of the energy concerns and like environmental concerns. Part of the Illinois regulations that they're pursuing is that not only do the data centers provide their own energy supply, but that supply has to come from renewable resources.
I'm thinking, didn't the legislature pass and the governor sign a provision this past fall that would encourage the development of small nuclear power plants that could add to the available electricity? I think that may be part of the equation.
What about the Sangamon County project? Is there renewable energy being thought of with that?
There is the opposite being considered right now. The backup generators that would be powering the data center in Sangamon County, that would be owned by Cyrus One, an international company that builds these data centers across various countries. It would utilize 420 backup generators, which is, from what I've heard and looked at, a pretty staggering amount. When you compare it to the largest hospital in the county, Springfield Memorial, they only have 6 backup generators for their hospital, and that's for in case of outage to help keep life-saving medical equipment alive, versus these will be used in case of outage for computer racks. So it's a very stark difference. But regarding the jobs point you guys were talking about, that's also something that is interesting and has been a contention here as well. Cyrus One, the company that's proposing a project in Sangamon County, has said that it would bring 500 construction-related jobs and 100 permanent full-time jobs once built. However, if you look at the state's data center investment program, which has publicly available files annually from 2020 to 2024, they show that those projects that were enlisted with the state's tax break program created 4,000 to 8,000 temporary construction jobs, which is roughly 150 to 300 construction jobs per project. And that report also shows that the average amount of full-time jobs once built is just over 20.
There's a lot of promises being made here. I did want to turn real quickly to one that another project that was proposed in nearby to Sangamon County, Logan County. This is where Lincoln is located, between Springfield and Bloomington Normal. Logan County is looking at a data center as well, a pretty large one. What's going on with that, Dilpreet, because you've been following that as well?
So Logan County has taken a very different approach from Sangamon County, despite being neighbors. Logan County has decided to take a 60-day moratorium on all data center projects and proposals. So they are in the midst of that. I think there's about the rest of this month. So they are taking the time to review the proposals, see what consumers and citizens are worried about, and then I think they'll go from there. But they are definitely, I think, more concerned about how residents feel about the project and want to get that sort of understanding before they move forward.
And also see what the state might do. Charlie, you've been following too, that there's a lot of these planned, and some of them are already there in northern Illinois, including a lot of the southwest suburbs. We're seeing push for more of these to be built.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Dilpreet mentioned that Logan County is kind of put this on hold for a while. Well, the city of Aurora, which is one of the larger cities in the state, also had a plan, and they, I think it was last fall, they delayed it for additional studies. And then finally, a week or so ago, they adopted strict new regulations on data centers, setting standards around energy and water use, plus noise and other emissions. And among the things, it would require that all data centers within Aurora will be required to submit annual reports around power use, water use, noise, and storage of biometric data. Currently, Aurora has 5 data centers. There's another 5 in development, according to the city news release. And so Aurora has enacted pretty strict regulations in all, kind of mirroring what's in the Power Act that Nicole mentioned. And so that's an example of a town moving proactively.
Nicole, talk about that if you could. What is, maybe Aurora has more experience with these. That probably helps a bit because they've seen what works for them, what doesn't, maybe some changes that need to be made.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of interesting when these regulations are brought up because they do follow along the same paths. You see the idea of reporting their power usage, their water usage. It's just interesting that these regulations tend to flow along the same lines.
So at the end of the day, I guess it comes down to we are waiting to see what the state might do, Nicole, and then also these locals will decide right now whether they want to move forward or not. Some of them have decided, yes, we're not going to wait. Does that seem to be affecting what's happening at the Capitol? Does that seem to maybe take it off the plate a little bit for now, or can you tell that at this point?
I'm not sure that's easy to tell right now. I think that I really want to, the next update really, I think that we'll get about the Power Act is next week when it's heard in the subcommittee, because that subcommittee, they're doing a lot of AI related, data privacy related, and other data center regulations, all kind of considering at the same time to, I think, just bring it all to the table, discuss it all at the same time, and see what they can do, especially since some of the other data center bills are very similar and very related to the Power Act. So just seeing where those all come together. So I think that we'll have a better picture of where the lawmakers are standing once we hear that at the subcommittee.
And then Dilpreet, believe next week the Sangamon County Board meets again. They last tabled this discussion on the data center. They have to get a zoning request approved to build this. They've tabled that, but that could come up again. And do we have any idea how whether or not that is going to happen? We know yet.
There is no confirmation of if it's going to come up. Some sources have told Illinois Times they expect it to happen, or at least expect it to be brought up again. I can tell you that factually, they have 3 meetings to bring it back up again, or else I think the tabled proposal dies. So it seems like there's at least 3 more months for this tabled proposal to kind of be brought back up again, which sort of is interesting if you consider the fact that they could wait till session is over to sort of have this complete.
About the Sangamon County proposal, we mentioned earlier that among the benefits that are being touted is that there will be tax revenues, property tax revenues going to public schools. Well, if I'm not mistaken, this particular plan by Cyrus One is at the southwest corner of Sangamon County. And the areas that would be most affected by the noise and the pollution are actually outside of Sangamon County. So the people who are going to be most affected by it won't benefit from anything because their schools won't get any of the property tax revenue. I found that kind of interesting. I also thought it was interesting, and Dilpreet, you had this in your story, where the representatives from Cyrus One reassured the public there'll be no impact on utility rates. And I'm thinking to myself, how is that going to work? Suddenly you have this massive complex drawing a gigantic amount of electricity, and it's not going to affect utility rates. I find that hard to believe.
And what are they saying on that, Dilpreet, when it comes to the utility rates?
Yeah, that's something that's actually the Rural Electric Convenience Co-op They're the company that's responsible for the electricity that would be provided to the site. And they have been supportive of the project publicly, saying that it would actually not, and this is what they have said in their frequently asked questions online, that it would actually do the opposite with regards to increasing rates. And they say that it would provide enough revenue for them to lower rates on traditional consumers. It remains unclear if that's a reality, because obviously a project of this size has never happened in this county or for Rural Electric, but that's what they're saying.
Okay. Well, we'll continue to watch this, so we may have some more answers when it comes to the rules for data centers coming up here before too much longer, as the legislature is scheduled to adjourn at the end of next month. Did want to save a couple of minutes here talking about electricity and power. A lot of people look to renewable energy, things like solar, and there is some legislation moving ahead for something called plug-in solar to make that more widely available. And Nicole, you've been reporting on that. So fill us in, what is this exactly, and what would the legislation do?
Yeah, so that's what's really interesting about this too, is so for renters or people who don't have access to a roof or they can't do these kinds of installations, this legislation for plug-in solar would allow people to buy a solar panel or a little array and use that solar, plug it into their wall outlet and use that to power to offset some of their utility bills. And it applies mostly to like low wattage systems that then could be set up on like a balcony or a porch or in a backyard. And the idea is just to open the door for that, expand access to using solar panels, and make sure that people can actually install them without really complicated, like having to get certain permissions that bigger systems do need to get.
Yeah, so this is like if I owned a home, for example, and I decided I wanted to go with solar, I could put panels wherever and wouldn't be so much of an issue. But if you're renting, for example, that's a problem because you may not have the ability to do that, or maybe even the landlord might decide we don't want you to attach anything specifically. This is just an easier way to go, I guess.
Yeah, I think that it's very cool too, just for allowing more people to get some of these benefits. And if they want to go solar, but they don't live in a place where they are able to install panels, this gives them a chance to tap into some of the green energy revolution.
You're listening to State Week.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.
We're back on State Week, and it's time now for our notes from the field. And Dilpreet, I'll start with you this week, talking about something else that's going on in the city of Springfield.
This week, a couple county, city, and state officials came together to throw support behind a bill in the State House that would create a new authority that would basically be responsible for expanding the Bank of Springfield Center in downtown Springfield, in addition to creating a new hotel just south of the Bank of Springfield Center. And that's something that's actually facing a bit of contention from city council members here in Springfield, because they feel that they don't have enough representation in that bill as it's currently written. It would provide three members appointed by the county board to this authority, one by the Springfield City Council and one by the Springfield Metropolitan Exposition and Auditoriums Authority. And that is something that I think we'll see some progress on in the next few weeks, because it seems like something that all the elected officials understand they want to get done, but it's just a matter of representation on that board Senator Turner said the bill would not create any new taxes and would utilize existing bonds and programs that could be utilized once the bill is passed.
And Springfield, of course, attracts a lot of conventions, a lot of tourists, businesses, and, of course, lawmakers. We'll continue to follow that. Also, moving on, notes from the field. Nicole, we'll go to you.
So Illinois has been in drought since various regions of Illinois have been in drought since last summer. And there was a subject matter hearing about groundwater supplies and groundwater monitoring in the Senate back in February. And that was how I kind of got on to this. I've just been talking to like the state climatologist, the Illinois Water Survey, just about what is water supply like in Illinois, and how is drought impacted the state, and what is it looking like going forward, and what are some of the things that could be implemented to better manage these resources?
We'll look forward to that story. And Charlie?
Well, we're in a new month, so we have the latest Illinois Flash Index. And the flash index for March declined for the third month in a row, down to 101.2 from a 101.3 level in February. And that's continuing a trend that began roughly a year ago, gradually slowing economy. And of course, anytime the index is above 100, it means that the economy is growing. And here's a quote from Professor Emeritus Fred Geertz, who compiles the index for the Institute of Government Public Affairs at U of I Urbana-Champaign. The Illinois economy is still growing at a moderate rate in line with predictions for the national economy of relatively slow growth in 2026. And he points out, though, the conflict with Iran began on the last day of February and it had little economic impact in Illinois in March. If the fighting continues, the effects will gradually be felt. And then the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability released its monthly update on the state's revenues. And it pointed out that with only one quarter remaining in FY 2026, in other words, we're already three quarters of the way through the fiscal year, revenues deposited into the state's general funds are up $1.571 billion, or 4.2%. It actually exceeds the rate needed to meet the revenue assumptions that underlie the current budget. In other words, the current budget expected general funds grow 2.4%, and we're already at 4.2%. That's good news for the state.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler, Dilpreet Raju of the Illinois Times, and Nicole Hitrick with Capital News Illinois. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling changemakers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, Plan, Implement, Evaluate. Services and information at PIORG.org.